Morning, Will. How are you this morning? Good morning, everyone else, too. And welcome to our service of worship for this morning. We are pleased that you are here, and a welcome to all those who are joining us on the live stream for this, our Easter service. The announcements were before you as you entered this morning on the screens and in the bulletin, so I hope you've had the opportunity to make note of those which are of most importance to you. One of the announcements on the screen was a recognition of the fact that through the season of Lent and in these days of Holy Week, we have been making use of a resource that was published in the most recent Lenten edition of Reformed Worship magazine. And we're grateful to their editorial staff for their creativity and their sharing of that resource with us as we've gathered in worship. We welcome Lloyd King with us this morning. Lloyd is our resident trumpeter who we get to call upon every time we need a trumpet. So we're really grateful that Lloyd has agreed to share his gifts of music with us this morning. I will be away tomorrow. Do not call the minister on Easter Monday. But in this case, I'm out of province, so don't call him on the Tuesday or the Wednesday. I'll be back the following week. So in the meantime, if there are pastoral emergencies, the Reverend Ian McMillan has agreed to provide pastoral coverage. And we will be checking the phone here in the office on a daily basis, but you are also encouraged to contact your elder, perhaps, if it is a pressing need, in as much as tomorrow will be Vina's last day. So it's going to be very quiet around here for the next week while I am away and we have no one in the office. And finally, an embarrassing announcement. If you happen to find a wallet in the church, in your travels today, it's mine. Or outside, I'm not sure where it is. If I did know where it was, of course, it wouldn't be lost. But it is. And so in the midst of everything else that has to happen on a Easter weekend, your minister has spent a great deal of time on the telephone canceling credit cards. So worrying about what the implications of that is, since so much of our life is now attached to our credit card. So if you happen to find my wallet, I can't tell you how happy I would be if you could return it to me. I think it may be gone. Friends, as we enter the presence of our Lord this morning, I invite you to stand that we might say together the call to worship. And the call will appear before you on the screens. People of God, we are witnesses to these things. That Christ died, hanging on a cross. That God raised him from the dead on the third day. That he is coming again in glory to reign. This is the good news we tell to all the world. Jesus Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. And as we come and worship this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that the love of God in Jesus Christ has overcome the darkness of this world and that we glory in his light. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us begin our worship in praise as we sing the hymn 243, Jesus Christ is risen today. Or as it will appear before you on the screens. Seated. Friends, the Apostle Paul writes in his first letter to the church in Corinth, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human. For as in Adam all die, so all will be made alive through Christ. But each in its own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. With gratitude for the gift of salvation, let us humbly come before God and confess the sin that necessitates Christ's self-sacrifice on our behalf. Let us pray, beginning with a time of silent reflection. Holy and almighty God, out of the silence we come to you. We come with gratitude in our hearts for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died so we may live. We come fully recognizing our own unworthiness, that even today as we celebrate the gift of the resurrection, we have sinned and we will sin. We come to you, realizing just how often we fail to put you first, even though we proclaim that you are Lord of all. Realizing how we can sing your praises in one breath and use your name as a curse in the next. Realizing that though we claim the title Christian, we fail to be a Christ follower. We fail to be your disciple. We fail to follow your example, a humble servant. Willing to extend love to all people, regardless of any societal labels, we come to you, aware of our shortcomings, asking for your Holy Spirit to work in us. Convict us of our sins, O Lord, so that we may become more like you. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Peter was speaking to the early church when he said, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message that he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. We put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear not to all people, but to us, who were chosen to bear witness and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. People of God, your sins have been forgiven. Thanks be to God for this good news. Amen. Once more, we join in praise as we sing hymn 250, The Lord of the Dance. Hymn 250, or as it will appear before you on the screen. Willem, come on. You heard Ainsley, come on. And we have our friends at the back, so we'll wait for a minute. And any other young people who'd like to come forward for the children's story are welcome to do so. Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Good. I'm glad to hear that. I have a question for you this morning. Have you seen Jesus? No? No? Maybe you're thinking that. Maybe you think, no, Jesus has never appeared to me in a vision like he appeared in the vision to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. Or maybe he never walked along beside you like he walked along with the disciples after his rising at Easter. No, maybe that's not it. Maybe Jesus hasn't miraculously healed you or fed you or helped you catch fish. But did you know that there are other ways to see Jesus? What might be another way that we might see Jesus? What do you think, Ray? Maybe somewhere near a cross, yeah. As we remember him, sometimes we can picture him and see him. That's true, I think. Maybe we see God in the adults in our lives who give us a hug or comfort us when we're sad. Maybe that's a place that we see God. Maybe we see Jesus in our lives when our Sunday school teachers tell us about him. Right? Maybe that's someplace where we kind of see him, and maybe we see him in them as they help us to understand how to follow God. Maybe we see the Holy Spirit when we're worshiping and we feel that God is really close to us. Those are all ways that we kind of get a sense that maybe Jesus is with us, even though we don't see him with our eyes, we sense that he's around, right? So that's my question for you today, and my question for all of you today. The big theme of the worship today is, when have you seen Jesus? So think about that for the rest of the day. When have you seen Jesus? And maybe, when have we been Jesus for somebody else? There's a question, isn't it? We'll think about that for the rest of the day. And maybe that's something for mums and dads and grandmas and grandpas that we can talk about as we're having our Easter dinner today. Okay? So remember that. When have we seen Jesus? Because we're going to talk, you're going to talk downstairs, we're going to talk up here about people who saw Jesus on the first Easter. Now, before we all walk gently down to Sunday school, we have to do the anthem because Trish is up in the choir this morning. So give us a second for us to sing our special music, and then you can walk gently to Sunday school this morning.
Low in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord.
Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph.
Out this way, Trish, so you can walk them down the aisle. Okay, Laura's got them. Good, good. See you later, guys. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, we rejoice in the light of this Easter morning, and we come now with gladness to the reading of your word. May the light of the word that we celebrate this morning fill our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, driving away any lingering darkness and equipping us for lives of service. Amen.
Good morning. Oh, good morning. Our first reading comes to us from Isaiah chapter 65, verses 17 to 25. And that can be found on page 712 in your pew Bible. New heavens and a new earth. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. The second reading comes from the Psalms, and it will be read responsively. Your parts will be on the screens. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever.
Let Israel say, steadfast love endures forever.
Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. The third reading comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 19 to 26, and it can be found on page 167 in your pew Bible in the New Testament. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. But each in its own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and every power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death.
And this morning's gospel reading is taken from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Let us listen for God's word as it is given in John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scriptures that Jesus must be raised from the dead. And then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside of the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head, the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" And supposing him to be the gardener, Mary said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia. This has been the acclamation of the Easter Church for over 2,000 years. It is perhaps one of the oldest elements of Christian worship that we know of, and we still use it to this very day. And yet, thinking about that Easter acclamation that we make each year, those words, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, alleluia. We, in the context of this gospel lesson that we read this morning and that we've just heard, we're reminded that in some small respect, those words are insufficient. While we celebrate the reality of the empty tomb is by itself insufficient as a Christian witness. But it is where we begin this morning. Early in the morning, on that first morning, day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. There is no avoiding the shocking reality of this moment that Mary experiences. Mary, you see, has gone to the grave to mourn the death of her friend, and she finds that he is not there. But in that moment, Mary does not know what has happened. As we hear later in her discussion with the gardener, Mary perhaps thought that the body had been moved to somewhere else, but we get ahead of ourselves. Confronted by this, the gaping maw of the empty tomb, Mary runs off to see Peter and the other disciple. It's always kind of an odd reality. John refers to this disciple throughout his gospel as the disciple who Jesus loved, but he never says his name. There might be a sermon in that. But Mary runs off to Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved, and they in turn race to the tomb. There's lots of details about who the winner is and which one ran through the tape rather than just stopping at the finish line. But at the end, they look inside the tomb and confirm Mary's darkest fear. The tomb is empty. Jesus is not there. And they kind of know what's happening, but they don't fully comprehend. John tells us that the other disciple had an inkling. John says, the other disciple who reached the tomb first then went in and he saw and he believed, with a footnote. For as yet they did not understand the scriptures that Jesus must rise from the dead. Another piece to the picture. Another piece to the puzzle. But throughout the story, there's also all of these little things, little fragments, little crumbs that are dropped upon the path that we might follow if we are observant enough, details that at one and the same time seem mostly trivial, but they're there for a reason. They're there because they underscore the veracity of the whole story. Details such as the grave clothes being there neatly folded on the stone shelf where Jesus had laid, but the shroud for his face, somewhere else, thrown over there in the corner. The breathtaking appearance of the angels to Mary, and Mary's mistaking the risen Jesus as a gardener. After all, when we have all expected it to be the gardener in the half light of dawn. These are the finer details, the little things that confirm this one point, that this story is true. That this is more than just a story. These things happened, and we know they happened because of all of the peculiarity and particularity that is here in this story. Why is this important? It is important because it is all too easy to try to make the story make sense according to the laws and the practices of this world. For all of us, for you and I, and for countless people before us and countless people yet to come. For Mary, who walked in the tomb on that first Easter morning, there are easier and more common sense explanations of what's happening in this story. Mary sees the open tomb and she assumes that the body has been taken. She does not expect a risen Lord. There are more common sense expressions than that. For Thomas, Jesus' disciple, and the others who heard of the post-resurrection encounters of Jesus, they thought that it was a ghost. And so Thomas, amongst others, demands real proof, physical proof, that this is a real person. Unless I touch his hands and put my hand in his side, I cannot believe. How often has the world struggled with the reality of who Jesus is? Throughout the history of the world, people have claimed Jesus to be many, many things. They've claimed him to be a prophet, a great prophet, but a prophet nonetheless. Or maybe a great teacher, like the rabbis of renown that we remember from around the time of Jesus, but who haven't been at the center of their own faith movement. I've even heard some people make the argument that Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus is nothing more than a social construct used to enforce Victorian morality upon the world. There's all kinds of possible explanations of who Jesus is and what is happening on this morning in the gospel. But John's gospel, the reading that you have heard, leaves us little room for any of those suggestions. From the empty tomb to the folded cloths to the angels' greetings to Mary's encounter in the garden, the first account of that first Easter morning leads us to conclude along with Mary, I have seen the Lord. That Jesus Christ has defeated the kingdom of death and all of its power and caused new life, resurrection life, to spring forth. That the darkness and the sorrow with which the story of the first Easter morning begins has been overcome, and we are enabled to live in the joyful presence of God. All of these things we know because Mary is able to utter those words, I have seen the Lord. And so it is with us. The great mission of the church is to make that same movement from empty tomb and all of its uncertainty to risen Lord and that final great declaration of the faith. As I asked the young people this morning, the question is the same for you. Where have you seen the risen Lord? And how has that made a difference in your life? How has the risen Christ changed your darkness into light, your sorrow into joy, death into life? Because it is in those moments when we can identify that Christ has walked with us in our darkness and in our sorrow and in the death of this world, that we can then stand and say, "But I have seen the Lord." As we celebrate this Easter and remember all of those things that God has done in our lives, let us also bear witness to the faithfulness of our God, who has not left us desolate, not lost in sin and death, but who has given us light and life and clothed us that we might live with God in God's eternal plan. May our song perpetually be, "I have seen the Lord." Thanks be to God for this appearance to us this day. Our hymn of response is 249 in the Book of Praise, "The Day of Resurrection," number 249. Please be seated. We belong to Christ. All things are His, for He is the Lord of all. All the goodness of our lives we have received from God's gracious hand. And in gratitude, we return now our tithes and thanksgivings with joy and praise. Let us now present our tithes to the Lord. Let us pray. We praise you, O God, and give you thanks that you have given us such joy, such grace, and such hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let our lives be proof of that good news. Let all our words and actions, our love and service, bear witness to your resurrection power. For the sake of our living Lord, Jesus the Christ, we pray these things. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Praise be to you, O God of resurrection, for you have defeated the powers of sin and death. In resurrecting Christ Jesus, you displayed your holy power and transformed all of creation. In your steadfast love, you have redeemed us once and for all. And so this day, we pray. We pray for the church, that like Mary, we might be faithful witnesses to the resurrection, proclaiming the hope that is ours in Christ for the sake of the world he came to save. We pray for the world, that your divine purpose in sending your beloved Son into the world might be fulfilled, that justice and peace might reign in all nations and lands, so that the lamb and the wolf may feed together and all may enjoy the fruits of their own labors. We pray for this community. As Jesus tore down walls that divide us, not just from you, but from one another, put an end to the prejudice and partiality that divide neighbors from one another, and help us to seek what is good and right for all. And especially over this next week as we prepare to participate in our federal elections, we pray for leaders who can build consensus between peoples and nations. We pray for loved ones. Redeem them from the power of death so that they may tell your mighty work and celebrate your steadfast love. Gracious God, keep us working and praying for the coming of your holy realm of peace when we will share abundant life for all. May this be our hope as we pray together in the manner that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn for this morning is number 257 in the Book of Praise. The strife is o'er, the battle done, and the choir had an opportunity to practice this, so the same note goes out to you now. This hymn begins with three alleluias. It ends with three alleluias. They're right there at the top of the page, but we don't sing them after every verse. So if you can just follow the choir or the words on the screen, the words on the screen are right.
Thank you.
and before the benediction. As we move into the Easter season, there is a new choral closing. So as we begin to sing, we won't sing that rather mournful piece we've been singing through the season of Lent. It was right for that time. It is not right for today. But instead, we sing a much more cheerful closing. Alle, alle, alle. It's easy. You will catch on to it. We will sing it through twice. Friends, people of God, look to the world. The world is looking for a Savior. And it is our task to testify through our words and actions that we have seen the risen Lord. Now let us go out into the world as Christ's faithful servants, a living testimony of God's grace. And may the God of love, who showed us love, strengthen us in our love for others. May the Christ who shared his life grant us grace that we might share ours. And may the Holy Spirit, dwelling in us, empower us to be Christ's ambassadors wherever we go and to whomever we meet, this day and forevermore. Amen.